Ryan, now I've got Steve van der Wanderen here from Extreme Zero Waste. Steve, you're the managing director these days. Come in a bit closer to the mic.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And you were you an accountant or something like that before you were managing?
Yeah, I've done lots in my life.
No, but just so at Extreme, though.
Extreme, yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, I was the accountant before.
Okay.
I started there about 6 years ago.
Okay. Oh, really? That long?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And actually, tell us what the other things you've been up to in your life were before you came to Raglan and started doing this sort of thing.
Done general management for project management, industrial buildings, IT projects, and, yeah, I spent about 15 years in the print industry.
Okay.
So that was interesting.
Is there much print industry left these days?
Not in what I was, which was the old business forms with the holes down the side type.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that sort of completely died.
Yeah, yeah, wow, right, yeah.
Yep.
I know the Chronicle had to start sourcing their paper from overseas recently.
Yes, yeah.
Which seems nuts given how much paper we must produce in this country, but...
Yeah, I've heard that even though we're supposedly becoming a paperless society, there's more paper coming into New Zealand than ever. So,
yeah,
I'm not
well,
sure
I used
we're achieving.
I used to work in architecture firms, and we'd be drawing up houses, and you used to have one sheet of clear plasticky stuff, and you'd draw on that, and everyone would come and look at it. But when you start drawing on a computer, every time you want to look at something, you have to print it off.
Yes,
and then you know to get a good feel for it. And yeah, anyway. I'm getting very distracted. We're here to talk about, well, you're actually just saying off the air, you might have enough volunteers for today, but Extreme's looking at getting some clothes over to the East Coast, is that right?
Yes, that's right. So we've got an abundance of clothes up there at the moment, unfortunately.
Yep.
And we, as you know, at Extreme, we regard everything as a resource. Mm. So when this happened, we decided that it's no good having the resource here when it's needed over at the East Coast.
Yep.
So let's work out a way of getting it from here to there, effectively. They're asking for things to be sorted and labelled so that they don't have to resort it at their end. So we're going through that here now and getting together a bit of clothing and other items as well that we can find, like bedding and blankets and pillows.
Yep.
And then we need to work out how to get it to the East Coast. Our preference is Wairoa. To get it into there.
Yeah, yeah. That looks like that whole town was pretty much wiped out. Have you been looking at some of the footage in the news reports?
Yeah, and then we've got some people that are from Wairoa as well working with us, so they're keen for us to get stuff to their hometown.
I was going to say if they got contacts there, but they may not right now. I don't know. I was coverage. No, they've got some sort of communication into Wairoa now, have they?
Yes, they have. It's limited coverage, but for quite a while there, they were worried about their whānau back home. But they've made contact now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most people are all right in the end. Well, they're alive, but there's levels of stress that they're all going to be under. So, today and tomorrow, you guys are working on the sorting. I think you started last week, actually, did you?
Yes, we started on Friday with some of the crew from our own team.
Yeah.
And then over the weekend, we've gathered a bit more up and put it in our container up there. And then today, I think we've got 12 volunteers, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
And so I think Nikki's up there now sorting them out to get them going. Then once we see how much we've got, we'll try and work out whether we need to take a truck or a ute and a furniture mover or how we're going to get it there.
Are you needing people tomorrow to come and help sort? Or?
We'll probably be right, I think.
With check on 12, Facebook, I guess, for the update. Yeah,
with 12 people today, we will get through a fair amount.
Yeah, people are keen to help out. I saw that the school was doing a fundraiser with the same idea of getting some support over that way.
Yes. I mean, we put the call out to our own road. We're out to Yuku, and it was amazing. We went up to Extreme yesterday with a ute full of stuff just from one road, so which was amazing.
Right, that's out where you live. If people want to donate some stuff, are you accepting that, or is that going to get a bit out of hand if you start?
It could get a bit out of hand.
Because you were saying you've actually got a lot of clothes anyway.
Yes, we've got a 40-foot container that's fairly full.
Is that just what's been collected out of Raglan over the last year or so?
Yeah.
Wow, you're doing a lot of shopping, Raglan.
Yeah.
A lot of shopping.
So we decided that we could take some of that across.
Okay. And how did you figure out where you're going to go and how you're going to get there? Because that's a constantly evolving situation.
Yeah, I made contact with the Environment Centre in Hawke's Bay, so the equivalent of our Environment Centre here.
Yeah.
And when I spoke to them, they said that they have a reasonable amount of stuff coming up from Palmerston North.
Yeah.
And for us to hold on to our stuff till we could get into Wairoa.
Right.
So, yeah, they were foreseeing that, because they can't get from Napier to Wairoa, that road's closed.
It's not that far away, is it?
It's a couple of hours drive.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, came through there recently. It wasn't a nice road anyway, but there's some bridges gone out, so they've got no way of getting any product that they've got into Hastings to Wairoa, so they've asked us to try and get into there.
So how do you get to Wairoa then? You can't go via Hastings.
No, the only way it seems at the moment is to go through from Opotiki through to Gisborne.
Yeah.
And that road's only open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
That's the Waiaka Gorge.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll have to go through to there and then back down to Wairoa. So it'll be a fairly long trip.
Yeah.
So we'll decide whether we're going to use a truck from Extreme or whether we'll use a ute and a trailer, so a furniture trailer.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that was... then you've got to source that as well, do you?
Yes, yeah. So I'll be maybe doing some phone calls today to see if I can source that, or we'll be talking to our own drivers and see if we can get two of them to come with us and drive the truck.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's something else. I don't remember seeing in my lifetime, I don't remember something this devastating.
Yeah, there was Cyclone Bola a few years ago, but I think this is worse from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, 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 and I don't know, I don't remember much of, must have been a teenager, but I don't remember that. I used to live in Gisborne out at Wainui Beach when I was a kid. I was like six, and I remember quite a big flood then, and it scarred the hills all around, and it was a big event in my life, you know, being six or maybe even five, and slips everywhere, and I remember water around the house. Mum and Dad had just bought this section, had this lower level, and it got covered in a foot of silt.
Yep.
And I was at that age, I thought it was like quicksand that would like swallow me up. You know, that was. I think that's why it stuck. Yep. That's stuck in my head.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that landscape. It
looks devastated.
Yeah.
And I think even though the water's receded, what's left, like you said, the silt.
The silt's phenomenal.
It's just going to be huge to try and recover from. And when we look at Christchurch was fairly well contained, not putting down what happened in Christchurch, but this here is just spread over such a large area.
That's it. The access is the huge issue, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, in Christchurch, if there was somewhere you couldn't go, you could walk and kind of get through things. But it's hard to imagine how long it's going to take to get sorted. So Extreme, folks, we're talking to Steve, who's the Managing Director at Extreme, and just talking about getting some of the huge abundance of clothes from Extreme over. And but also I wanted to check in with you about the new building that's there. How long has that been up and running, and remind us what that new building is?
So that new building's a new processing centre. So where we used to tip all the recycling into a trough and manually sort from there, we've actually got hoppers and conveyors now running.
Okay.
And a new baler. So it's completely all new gear. It's been supported by the Ministry of Environment and also the Glass Packaging Forum.
Okay.
And then we've had to put in a fair amount as well. And, that's been up and running now for a few months and going well. The guys previously had to sort all the glass out in the open air.
Okay, in the sun.
In the sun, and now they're in undercover and in the shelter. I think it's proving to be very good. It's a lot better from a health and safety perspective as well. We used to manually be lifting a lot of things into troughs, whereas now we've got bin lifters, etc., which has reduced all that physical lifting for back strain, etc. So a lot of this was around product quality and health and safety.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And the guys are enjoying working in there?
Yes, yeah. I mean, like any new line, it has its teething problems, and we're working through them. But in general, the guys seem really happy with it.
Okay. And I guess anything Extreme's going to be doing in the future you want to tell us about? Anything coming up? I didn't plan this question, but...
No, you didn't plan this question.
Yeah. And there might not be, but...
Well, we're constantly looking at what we can do better, and also looking at other products that we can try and recycle, rather than take to landfill, because you know our mission is to reduce waste to landfill. So we're constantly looking at those different things and different avenues for where our product can go. So that's probably our main focus. If we're currently diverting about 75%, so we've got that last 20-25% we need to try and reduce and get rid of out of our community. So
yeah, I thought we'd got past the 75% mark when Liz got the green waste up and running, but then I understand the building boom is...
Yes, the building boom's, that's a lot of waste from construction and demolition.
Yeah.
But there's also, I think, just COVID as well.
Yeah.
Things changed. People look for convenience, and unfortunately convenience creates packaging. And as people's lives get busier, I can understand why they turn to those solutions. But long term, they're not good for our environment. So,
and if we're driving less to go shopping, we're probably buying more online as well, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah.
And buying stuff that like clothes that may not fit properly when it arrives.
Yes. Yeah. So clothing is actually one of the biggest waste streams in the world.
Right.
So by us trying to reuse, that certainly diverts a lot from landfill.
You must have been with that, like, that ties in with what we were talking about earlier about just getting some clothes over to the East Coast. You had a container full of clothes there. Did you actually know what you were going to do with that till this moment?
No, we were scratching our heads.
Yeah.
So as we were scratching our heads, unfortunately this event happened.
Yeah.
So we're fortunate to be in the position where we can help.